While a good murder mystery always makes for good TV viewing, nothing grabs our attention like real-life crime stories. Over the past few years, the true crime genre has skyrocketed, from podcasts and documentaries examining past cases in great forensic detail to television dramas that visually dramatize the stories behind some of America's gruesome headlines. We seemingly can't get enough of true crime. So what's driving this obsession? Why do we love to consume stories about the dark side of human behavior? We're going to chat about that on this episode of Pop Life.
Digital content on WAER is supported by California Closets of Syracuse, creating custom storage solutions for all areas of the home. Now offering virtual design consultations. More information at californiaclosets.com or by phone 315-701-4382.
Welcome to Pop Life. I'm Joe Lee. The rise in popularity of the true crime genre has given us some memorable and moving content focusing on bizarre crime cases ripped straight from the headlines. These shows and documentaries often introduce new theories, new evidence, and fresh perspectives on cases from the little known to those that grip the nation, like that of the Golden State Killer.
You'd heard of Zodiac Killer. You'd heard of Son of Sam. The Golden State Killer is one of the most prolific, violent serial rapists and eventually a murderer.
And the tragedy of this case to me is that it's not better known.
Patton Oswalt sitting here with the lovely and intelligent Michelle McNamara.
My wife and creator of one of the best written and creepiest crime blogs on the web.
I just obsessed over it.
What drives me is the need to put a face on a unknown killer.
That's a clip from the HBO docuseries I'll Be Gone in the Dark, based on the book by Michelle McNamara. Here to help discuss this series and explore the lore of the true crime genre is Patrick Hines, who along with his co-host Jillian Pensavalle is host of True Crime Obsessed, a true crime meets pop culture podcast that focuses on recapping popular true crime series. Man, welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Let's talk a little bit about your show. Tell us about True Crime Obsessed, the format, and what you guys get into.
Sure. So True Crime Obsessed, it's a true crime comedy podcast, which I know, bear with me, I'll explain that part in a second. But we recap true crime documentaries. And so basically my co-host Jillian and I, we watch the documentaries separately. We get together and we sort of recap it by telling the story of the documentary and injecting our own thoughts and feelings and humor. And, you know, we always say the humor comes never from the victims or the crime. It always comes from either how angry we are at what happened or the dumb district attorney or the bad cop or whatever. But, you know, we try to use our platform to keep elevating the stories of these cases that sometimes don't get enough attention or have been forgotten. We try to bring them back up in our own way.
I'm glad you mentioned that about the comedy, because I want to get into that a little bit about how you balance that. But one of the more popular series going on right now is I'll Be Gone in the Dark, which is the case of the Golden State Killer. And that's happening on HBO. Have you guys reviewed that yet, or is that upcoming?
No, we're in the middle of it now. So we have our regular podcast feed. That's our free podcast that's out every week. And then we have our Patreon feed, which is our subscription service. And we have about 40,000 subscribers to that. And that's where we do our episode by episode coverage of like the multi-part series. And so just yesterday, we recorded our episode covering the second to last episode. So I've seen the whole series and we're almost finished with our coverage of it.
Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit about that for folks that haven't seen it yet. What's your take of it? Give us a synopsis of the situation. So this is for folks that are listening that aren't familiar. This is the state of the case of the Golden State Killer, based on the book written by Michelle McNamara and now produced as a documentary for HBO, partly produced by her husband Patton Oswalt. She was pretty obsessed with this case. How is it unfolding in your eyes as someone who is reviewing this as a piece of pop culture entertainment and information? Do you find it compelling?
Yeah, I really do. I mean, I was following Michelle's journey writing the book. So when she died before the book was finished, I remember when that happened. I remember when her team of investigators and sort of like journalist friends came together and finished the book. I read the book the day it came out. And I've been like, you know, anxiously awaiting this series. And I find it very, very compelling for so many reasons. I think those of us who make content in the true crime world can relate so much to Michelle's sort of obsession with this one particular case. But also, you know, this, I believe this was the first case solved using genetic genealogy. Maybe there was another case right around the same time, but I believe this was the first one. And the book didn't get that much into that aspect of it only because it was happening in real time. Mm-hmm. And so the documentary gets more into that about how they were able to put together his genetic profile, what the steps of that were. And you know, I find this series to be, we've made somewhere on the order of 350 episodes of our podcast between the regular feed and the bonus feed. Recording the episode yesterday was the first time I actually cried in an episode. Yeah, because this, you know, the story, at least as they present it in the documentary, tells both how they were able to figure out who the Golden State Killer was and how they caught him, but also it tells the story of Michelle McNamara's own struggles with writing this book and her struggles with addiction and her daughter. And, you know, Michelle McNamara died in her very early 40s in her sleep. It was totally unexpected. We hear the 911 call when her husband goes into the room and finds her, and she had been alive minutes before. And, you know, this particular episode that we recorded last night had a lot to do with him having to tell their six-year-old daughter, and I have a six-year-old daughter. And so I find that to be very personal. And also, as any good workaholic, you know, it brings up the guilt that we all feel when we're away from our families and our kids in pursuit of our jobs and our own, like, creative happiness. So it's one of the best things we've ever covered.
So what are the more compelling components of this particular documentary?
You know, it's the way, for me, it's the way they're able to weave together Michelle's personal story and also the truly captivating sort of edge of your seat stuff about how they were able to figure out who the Golden State Killer was. I think, you know, there's a lot of honesty in the documentary that I felt, at least in dealing with Michelle's addiction and how she actually died. It was an accidental overdose of a lot of over-the-counter, you know, like Xanax and Vicodin and opiates, you know, that sort of thing that she was using to self-medicate. And there's a lot of honesty about that in the documentary. It wasn't in the book, again, because they were writing the book in real time. I don't know how much they knew at the time the book was published. And so it's very relatable. I mean, a lot of these documentaries struggle in that way of trying to be able to tell two stories at once, the sort of like the human interest version and the really compelling, like, you know, story of how they got the guy. And this series does it better than really, I think, anything I've ever seen.
Okay. Now, where did you find some comedic moments?
You know, now that you mention it, I mean, you know, I'm trying to think back on it now. I mean, it really comes from, I mean, we really take the 70s to task. We rake the 70s over the coals. Like, how is it that, like, when there was a time when there were so many men who looked good for this crime, there were so many men that it could have been before DNA evidence. There was, like, they were looking at, like, over 100 guys. And it's like, how did one decade have so many dirtbags that could possibly, like fit that fit the narrative, you know? And then there's all of these, like, because, you know, the series deals a lot, he wasn't just a murderer. He raped over 50 women. And it there's so many PSAs that were made in the 70s about what women were doing wrong that put them in this situation to be raped. And we are watching these. My co-host and I, we're both very strong feminists, but my co-host is a woman. And so, you know, she, like, the level of rage that she just tapped into watching these videos about what, like, these women just living their lives, going to work, having the audacity to, like, not live with their parents or with a man, and how, like, those are the factors that contribute to these horrible attacks that they suffered. And we basically scream about that for 2 hours.
So, you know, true crime obsessed is, You guys do a fantastic job of recapping, and like you said, it's very entertaining and humorous. So you talk about not making sort of fun of the subjects, but the sort of the circumstances and things around it, maybe even the production. And so I was looking at and listening to your episode on the life and death of Sandra Bland, which, you know, is a very serious subject matter in today's culture around Black Lives Matter and police brutality. So how did you find a balance of treating this case, you know, with the serious nature that it deserves and staying true to your format?
You know, part of it was we very soon before that, we had covered a documentary in which it opened with this rich white guy getting pulled over by the cops. And sort of how, like, you know, they don't put him in handcuffs and they do put him in the back of the car. But like we see like the video of within the car, and within minutes, this guy's charming the cops and they're all laughing together and they're having like this great time, you know, juxtaposed with the video that we all see of Sandra Bland being pulled over. And like, that's where we were raging, was just like that disparity there. Also, Sandra Bland was just this amazing, articulate, like loud, opinionated, thoughtful, smart woman. And she did that thing that is a blessing to document, like to documentary makers, where there's just so much video of her talking and like saying what's on her mind and just, you know, just being herself. And so I think we were just able to like, just really like love on her as a person and sort of like talk about all that. But then, you know, like these ridiculous moments, like the video that the world was given of her time in jail and how clearly it was altered and how like it's presented to the, like the world is like, we're not going to be able to see that, like the clock is moving in the back. You know what I mean? Like that sort of ridiculous stuff. Like, what are you talking about? The fact that there's no photographic evidence of her body in the cell, like, and we are just supposed to take your word for it, you know, like, so like it's in those moments that, you know, it's not even always funny. It's just a sort of honest reaction to the things that we're watching that like, and then we'll double over laughing because we realize we've just been screaming and now we're hoarse and we can't talk anymore. And so that, you know, it's sort of in those moments.
Patrick, how did we get here? I mean, true crime is it just keeps rising in popularity, and I'm trying to figure out how we got here. And I look back to maybe the days of Nancy Grace in the height of popularity of her television show, you know, around cases like JonBenet Ramsey and things like that. Is that where this comes from? Where's the appetite for the American public around true crime coming from?
It's, you know, we talk about this endlessly and we, you know, we like everybody have no good answer, but like lots of opinions. And it's, you know, I mean, I think for me, I always say, I think that like we as a culture have always, I mean, all the way back have had a fascination with like horror stories. And I think we like to be scared. And so I think there's like that being scared makes you feel alive for some reason. Like, I think part of it is rooted in that. I think too, because we cover documentaries, and so we see that these are things that almost always happen to just very normal people, you know? The either the victims in these crimes or like the near victims in these crimes are so often, it could be me, it could be you, it could be, it's almost random, you know? And so I think you do sort of have that voyeuristic, like, oh my God, look at this thing that happened to this person who looks just like me or whose life is just like mine. Like, that could be me, that could have been me, you know? And then, but then of course there are the characters, like the caricatures, like the Nancy Graces. And like, we've covered enough true crime that this is so hilarious. My co-host feels like she pinpointed the moment that Nancy Grace was broken. And it was in the middle of the Scott Peterson trial. Like, if you go back to when Nancy Grace was first covering Court TV, way back in Court TV's inception, she was, you know, Nancy Grace is an opinionated woman, which we love, but she was very focused and sort of professional. And then as she sort of like slowly sort of evolves, we've sort of been along for the ride with her. And then it was like in the middle of the Scott Peterson trial that she just went bananas. And so we're never getting her back. And so You know, I mean, I just think that, like, there is, I always also say that true crime, when it's done well, is excellent storytelling. You know, there's a beginning, a middle, and often an end, whether the end is a resolution or the end is like, what do you guys think happened? And there's 15 conspiracy theories and people love that stuff.
Right. Yeah. I remember back in the day when folks were glued to the TV with the O.J. Simpson trial and,
yes,
and other trials that, that now we have all this content coming out around things like that, that are feeding people's interest in this. So you guys raked the Fire Festival, Hulu's production of the Fire Festival documentary over the coals. Mm-hmm. So a couple of things there. One is, in your opinion, what makes a good true crime doc?
Yeah. So I think there are things that can make a documentary good that don't work for us. So we always say, like, one of the you know, the genre-defining documentaries is called The Thin Blue Line. And it's an Errol Morris movie, I think, from forever ago. It's absolutely incredible. It doesn't work for us because it's mostly people just, like, talking straight to the camera. And mm-hmm. So it doesn't give us really much to work with. For us, the Fire Fraud documentary feels like it was made to be covered on True Crime Obsessed because it's just rich people being ridiculous and swimming with pigs and then, like, rich kids, like, taking selfies on airplanes and, like, nowhere, like, sleeping in FEMA tents. Like, there's so much for us to work with. Like, that's what really makes a compelling thing for us. It's like, give us one dummy and that's really all we need. You know what I mean? Like, we can go for Billy McFarland is just like comic gold for us.
So the other thing is, what are your sort of five top favorite true crime documentaries?
So the ones that I think are, like, the best made. I'll start with I'll Be Gone in the Dark. I think it's perfect. I really, really loved Abducted in Plain Sight. I just thought that had just twist after twist after twist. I think the Ted Bundy tapes was also excellent. Another Netflix original. I think West of Memphis, the Peter Berg documentary about the West Memphis Three. You know, there had been an HBO series before that were three films over the years by Joe Berlinger, and they were great. But the West of Memphis doc sort of wrapped it all up. And then I always go back to, there's a documentary on HBO called There's Something Wrong with Aunt Diane, which is this very mysterious documentary about this mom who got herself and her kids into a horrible, horrible car accident. And all but one of the kids and the mom died. And it's a big mystery as to what happened and why, like, you know, it's just a very well-made documentary that asks all the questions.
Is that the one where the case where the family drove off a cliff in California?
No, that no. is the that one. I don't think there's a documentary about, but there is a podcast called The Broken Hearts, and that was these two moms that had adopted all these kids, and we found out later had been, like, abusing and neglecting them, and then one morning one of the moms, like, drove the family over a cliff. And they all died. Although one of the youngest one, Devante, I believe, is still unaccounted for.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So let's flip this around now. What are your, say, top three worst, what gave you the most ammunition and material to work with? What's scraping the bottom of the barrel?
So the ones, okay, let me think about this for a second. The ones that we screamed about the most, there's one called The Case of the Cannibal Cop, which is an actual cop of the New York City the New York City Police Department who got busted basically, like, trying to, like, capture and eat women. So that was one that we screamed about for forever. Another one from early on in our coverage was called Jesus Camp, about these, like, fundamentalists who bring these children together and just scare the living bejesus out of them, literally. So there's Jesus Camp, and then, oh God, I'm trying to think. We scream about so many of them.
Let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. Are there cases that you know about that would make good documentaries that haven't been made yet?
So many. I mean, that one of the Hart family would make an amazing one. There is the disappearance of a young woman by the name of Alyssa Turney. There's been a couple podcasts. Her sister made a podcast called Voices for Justice. I think that would be amazing. There is this insane thing happening in the Northeast over the last decade or so where healthy, young, college-age men will be like out at a bar with their friends and will separate themselves from the group for whatever reason. And then they'll wind up finding their bodies in a body of water nearby like a month later. And there's like 20 or 25 documented cases of this over like the last like 10 years or so. And I think that that's a documentary that needs to be made for sure.
Wow, that's, yeah, that sounds really interesting.
Yeah.
So for those that are not into the true crime genre that might want to look into getting into it, what's a good one? What's a good one to dip their toe into?
You start with Abducted in Plain Sight. It's a Netflix documentary directed by Skye Borgman. It came out a couple years ago. And it tells the story of Jan Broberg, who was abducted twice by the family's good family friend and next door neighbor, Bob Birchtold. And you cannot believe, the twists just keep on coming. And the way that Skye made this movie is so smart, because Jan Broberg as a grown up is with us now from the very beginning. So we know that she lives and that she's okay. And so you can kind of like really pay attention to the story without wondering, like, did she suffer some horrible death? And it's just like, I mean, it was like the most popular documentary of like 2019, and it's fantastic.
Great. Yeah, that's a good one. I will definitely check that out.
And
we'll
do.
Get Pop Life listeners to check it out as well. Thank you very much for helping us explore the true crime genre. Tell folks how they can follow your podcast and where they can get all your content.
Yes, you can find True Crime Obsessed anywhere you get your podcasts. We have a podcast network called the Obsessed Network, where we make a bunch of fascinating podcasts about stuff that people are obsessed with. You can find all the shows we make at obsessednetwork.com. And you can follow me on Instagram. I'm at @PatrickHines_. Forgive me for the underscore. The regular name was already taken.
Hey, man, I really appreciate you chatting with us. Patrick Hines is host of True Crime Obsessed, and he's helping us explore the true crime genre here on Pop Life. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me. This was so fun.
That wraps another episode of Pop Life. Hey, why don't you do us a favor? If you're enjoying Pop Life, why not rate the show? It really does help us reach a larger audience. And be sure to subscribe wherever you're getting your podcasts. Pop Life is a product of WAER Syracuse Public Media. Our producer is Kevin Kloss. I'm Joe Lee. Thanks for listening.